I'm joined on the line right now with Mr. John Bocage. He's the author of a report that just came out recently on the situation facing Aboriginal youth in Canada. He joins us on the line from Saskatchewan. How are you today, Mr. Bocage?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Aaron.
So to begin with, can you describe to us what people have been calling the Millennium Scoop?
Well, I guess really, in its very simplest form, is that there's a huge number of children, Aboriginal children, being taken into care right across the country in almost unprecedented numbers, numbers that are even greater, some people are saying, than the residential school situation, where huge numbers of children were taken into care in residential schools, taken away from their home and their community. And what's happening right now is because of various social issues, many children are being taken away from their families and put into foster care under various children's aid societies across the country.
What are some of the most staggering numbers or figures that you came across in your findings?
Well, many of the numbers are anecdotal. It's really difficult to actually get a handle on the exact number, because not all people or children identify themselves as Native. Many of them do not have status, and many of them prefer not to be calling themselves Native. But basically, there are about 20% of the total children in care across Canada are Aboriginal children. And that compares with about 1.5% of the total population in Canada being Native. So there's a huge, huge overrepresentation of Native children in care.
And evidently, you know, within the report, it makes reference a few times to the legacy of residential schools in this country. I'm wondering if you could just maybe elaborate on that a little bit more. Like, what do you see in, I guess, the findings of your research as being part of that legacy of residential schools?
Well, part of the findings are things that other people have found in various other reports, and that is that that there were several generations of people taken away from their home who basically got no parenting skills whatsoever, very little in the way of coping skills with family interaction, and residential schools often trained Aboriginal people to be servants. They train them to work in the fields. They train them to be, repairers of clothing and machinery and that kind of stuff. And really didn't look at them as being intellectual whatsoever, or having jobs that had skills. So it was in essence a way to train people to be servants. And once again, an aspect of bringing the Native person into the overall society of Canada and taking the Indian out of the Aboriginal person, and so what that has done is it's created a legacy where you have very few job skills, very few coping skills, and basically endemic poverty. And that in turn has been part of the problem, that where there's poverty, you have children at risk. And that's continuing to this day. The cycle of poverty has to be broken. And there's not very much being done to break that cycle in very many communities across this country.
Mm-hmm. I guess looking at that cycle of poverty, can you talk a little bit more about the conditions that many Aboriginal children are facing today within the home or the family setting? And what is it in those conditions that is creating the situation where these children are being put into foster homes in such high numbers?
Well, you do have that endemic poverty, as I mentioned, and part of it is caused by lack of economic opportunity in many, many communities across the country. There's lack of housing, where sometimes you have three and four families living in one small bungalow, and that in turn creates a huge, huge difficulty within the social structure of perhaps two or three families living in the one small unit. And basically it gets down to the poverty creates a lot of free time, and free time and that kind of thing creates a situation for addictions to flourish, and addictions with drugs and addictions with alcohol and God knows what other kind of addictions there are there, but certainly that seems to be the ones that come to the surface. And as soon as those kind of things take over, then the child is at risk. And I see that the children's aid societies are trying their very best to protect the children, but the First Nations and the Aboriginal communities are not part of the solution. And I see that as being a crucial point to helping solve some of the major issues, is that we have to be part of the solution. We have to be part of the way things will change. We have to be have a greater interest and more responsibility in looking after our own situation and looking after our own children.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on the idea of solutions? So I guess avoiding the problem of Aboriginal youth being taken out of the home before it happens, what do you see are some of the solutions that could be applied?
Well, the way I saw it, and the way I heard it from many, many people over this past couple of years, is that we need more Aboriginal people on the board of directors of CASs. We need more Aboriginal people working within the system, and we also have to have our own societies which look after children, and greater money spent on prevention, and as I mentioned to the minister, one of the greatest things that we can do is to have statistics that show that there are no problems, because the way that government funding runs is that you have a problem and you have a child in care and you fill in all these forms, and when that's all done, the society gets money from the provincial government. So basically you have to have children in care before the society gets money. If there are no children in care, there is no money. So what I see is that you need to have a system set up so that there is money spent on prevention, and the number of children not in care is basically a success story. And there are a couple of communities in Ontario that have no children in care, and they're often overlooked. Like there's no problem and they're overlooked. And I see that as a mistake. When there's a community that has no children in care, there's something good going on there. We should copy that in many of the other communities that have problems. What are they doing that is creating a situation that shows no children in care, and it's a best practice? How do we replicate that right across the province and right across the country?
So looking at some of the recommendations in your report, one of your recommendations in your report includes applying Jordan's principle, which I guess is guaranteeing funding or guaranteeing services rather for youth, and especially for Aboriginal youth. But given, the Harper government now and the cuts that they're making towards social services, do you see access to services for Aboriginal youth being guaranteed under this government, or what is happening right now on that level?
Well, I have an economics background, and one of the things that I see in terms of funding and in terms of the way money is spent is that there are many ways that governments can spend money. And we've heard about, new prisons. We've heard about more money going to police. We've heard about more money going into the court system and so on. We can do that. And that will look after a certain aspect of the huge social problem we have in this country. But I would rather see that we put the dollars into prevention, that we look at the problem before it starts. And then there's savings way on down the line. There's savings in young people becoming more productive in the overall society and economy of this country, and not being part of the prison system. It costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep somebody in prison, and I would rather see that hundreds of thousands of dollars go toward educating 15 or 20 kids instead of putting one unfortunate person in prison. So I think that we have to look at how best to spend the money and where it is proactive rather than reactive.
Another one of the recommendations in your report includes using culture as kind of a path towards healing. And within the report, you've also described the Millennium Scoop as a form of assimilation. So I'm wondering, you know, given the legacy of residential schools with assimilation, can you elaborate a little bit more on the importance of Aboriginal culture within solving this problem?
Well, certainly culture is who we are, is the very core of our being. And every time a child is taken away from their culture, their language, their family, and so on, what happens is that a little piece of them is ripped out. And we saw during about the residential school situation, during the 60s scoop, when the huge number of children were taken away from their families, these children are now adults, and they're suffering a whole lot of pain in many different areas, and many of them are trying to find their culture, to reconnect with their culture, and they spend some of them spend the rest of their lives trying to reconnect with who they are, and so there's that part of them that they know is missing, and they're trying to find it. And so what I'm saying in my recommendations is that we should be making sure that culture is not lost when a child is at risk, and that culture is a very, very important part of the healing process, and making sure that a child remains safe and that they are returned to a loving family. But that once again gets into prevention. How do we make sure that the family can cope and that the family is starting to move away from this cycle of poverty? So the issues are huge and the problems are great, but you've got to start somewhere.
The report came out just this past June. Do you believe that the Ontario government is acting on some of the recommendations in the report, and why or why not?
In my some of my final meetings that I had with the minister, she was looking at what recommendations she could implement right away, and I have a lot of faith that as the recommendations that can be done immediately will be done, and as we know, there is going to be an election in Ontario this fall, so I'm really hoping that that whatever government takes over, whether it's the current incumbent government or a new government, that these recommendations are taken very seriously, and that they will be implemented. And I know I spent a lot of time with the various members of the executive of the Children's Aid, or not Children's Aid, but the Ministry of Child and Youth Service, and I firmly believe that they see the utility and the benefit of following some, if not all, of my recommendations.
Well, thank you very much. Again, we've been on the phone with Mr. John Bocage, who's an Aboriginal leader and the author of a report that just recently came out, an official report on the situation facing Aboriginal children being put into foster care and other institutions. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
You're very welcome, Aaron. Thank you very much for calling.